Thanks, Sharif. And again, it's good to be back. Thank you for all those who've been praying for me. For those who didn't realise, but just before we left leave, I cut my leg on the back of an oven and missed the tendon by a millimetre. So I had 8 stitches and thankful to get on the plane over. But still limping around and hopefully okay, but it's healed up okay. But I appreciate those prayers and it's good to be back with you. The Kel and the kids are also obviously away today at the birthday party. I'll be back next week and you'll see them. But for myself, it's great to be back with you all. Hopefully you're blessed by today's sermon as we continue in our series. Let me pray for us as we come now to this final topic in our series, Things Jesus Never Said. Well, Father God, as we again come before you now, we just want to pray that you would again enlighten our hearts and minds to the truth and the reality of your word. Father, we just ask again that you would do a work in our lives. And we know, Lord God, that as we're going to be looking at today, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve you. But yet, because of what you've achieved and what you've done, you've given us life and life to the full. And so, Lord, we want to live our lives in response to that. And again, we want to hear what you have to say to us here today collectively. So, Lord, I just ask that the words that I've prepared, that you would speak through me. And I myself know I don't deserve to be up here, Lord, but by your grace and your mercy, you've given me this opportunity. So I pray that I will not waste it. And I pray, Lord God, that everyone here will walk away encouraged by what you have to say through this series here today. So Lord, bless us, be with us, and guide myself, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all right, mate. Put it on the backup recording, so no stress. But as we start this morning, I want to play a little game with you, a little trivia, nothing major, I promise. Just something to get our heads in motion and our minds active. And just a few sayings I want to help us, or collectively, some sayings that I'll ask you to complete with you today. So we're going to go to this slide there, thanks, Lance. These sayings are up on the screen now. The first one, what goes around? Well done, good job. Your past will come back to
haunt you.
Oh, we all know what that is. If you make your bed, you need to
lie in it.
Yes. Well done. Everyone sort of knew what they were, for sure. But all these sayings are different ways to say another saying that we're looking at here today. What is it? You get what you deserve. Or you get what you deserve. These are all sayings to say it in a different way. You get what you deserve. And again, we've been in this series called Things Jesus Never Said, and we've been exploring what Jesus didn't say in order to experience the power of what he did say. Amen. And so again, we're going to be debunking another of those sayings, worldly sayings here today, you get what you deserve. But in our first week, we looked at good things happen to good people. In the last 2 weeks, you've hopefully been blessed by Rick, who's spoken on forgiveness is optional. And God helps those who help themselves. So if you haven't been here for those, they're online, the podcasts are up on our sermon podcast site. So I encourage you to check them out. But again, we're looking at this morning as we finish this series, you get what you deserve. And what Rick explained to us is these sayings have come apart because of our desire for wisdom, amen? We've come up with these wisdom sayings, as it were, to impart wisdom into this world, whereas true wisdom, which is what we're going to focus on here today, is only found in the cross. Amen? These are sayings that the world can come up with. It's worldly wisdom, but we're focusing on godly wisdom here today. And the reality is, if you want to live your life well, if you want to enjoy life and experience life to the full, then we have to look to that reality right there. Amen? And that's what we're going to do here today, as we again come to finish this series, focusing on the cross. Because each of these themes and sayings that we've been looking at, that we've been debunking, find their antithesis, which is their opposite, in the cross. So again, we're going to look to the cross and focus in on the cross here today in terms of debunking this saying, you get what you deserve. And we're in Luke 23, as we know this morning, and it's a passage that I hope will speak to you as it has done for me over many years. Because Luke 23 describes the last hours of Jesus' life. Everything that Jesus has taught and he has said that he has done up until this point culminates in the cross. Amen. This is the reality that we need to look to if we are ultimately to live our lives well. And what's interesting is that we are given an insight into this upside-down way of life that Jesus is calling us to as well. Because in our society, it will tell you that we need to be comfortable, don't we? Life is all about how comfortable we are. We're not successful if we're not comfortable in life. Comfortable with our finances, in a nice home, going on holiday, sitting on the beach with our feet up, as nice as it was the last week. Our society would tell us this needs to be a regular, this needs to be the norm. You've made it if you're going on holidays all around the world, putting your feet up all the time. Our society would tell you that you and I need to be working towards status and power. And again, that we've made it, we've become successful, we've got people working for you, people serving your needs. But what we see on the cross is the complete opposite, amen? Because what we see is our Creator, the Creator of this world, the King of heavens and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords, instead of wearing a golden crown, he wears a crown of thorns. Instead of being surrounded by servants, he was surrounded by criminals. Instead of sitting on a throne and having people fan him, feeding him grapes, he is nailed to a cross. And this same King, Jesus Christ, he calls us to embrace this way of life also, a servant king way of life. In the Gospels, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would want to follow me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Again, we're going to be squarely looking at the cross here this morning to understand once again this way of life, this beautiful, incredible way of life that Jesus is calling each and every one of us to embrace. Because by looking at the cross, and in particular this account in Luke chapter 23, it will give us some insight here today, what Jesus went through for us, amen? But not only that, it will also give us some context and some insight into the two people, the two men who were hanging either side of Jesus in his last hours, his last hours on the cross. So I encourage you to open your Bibles or your apps again to Luke chapter 23, if you've got them there, and some Bibles on the back. Encourage us to be continually bring their own Bibles to church, making notes, highlighting key passages. It's an important way of learning and as we work through our sermon series, it's an important way of learning and going deeper in God's Word. But verse 32 and 33 again says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. So both of these men had committed horrible, horrible crimes. We don't know exactly what these crimes were, but we sure know that they weren't just up on the cross because they stole a loaf of bread or took off with someone else's donkey. These people had committed horrific crimes. They were guilty, and that's the reason they were hanging next to Jesus on the cross. But death by crucifixion, was reserved for the absolute worst of criminals. Once again, those who had committed horrific, horrific crimes. And it was actually a terrible, horrific way to die. Death by crucifixion. It was a brutal and painful way to die. But not only a physically painful way to die, but a spiritually painful one to die as well. It was a shameful death to die, dying on the cross. And yes, you could say that the two criminals either side, Jesus, they deserved this death, but Jesus definitely didn't. He was completely innocent in every way. Three people hanging there on the cross. Jesus was in the middle of all this while the crowd, the people around him, hurled insults at him, cursed him, spat on him. This is the scene, this is the context of where we are again here today. He then looks up into heaven whilst this is all taking place, and he prays the most incredible prayer. He doesn't say, Lord, send a powerful army of angels to wipe these people out. He doesn't pray that, does he? He doesn't pray, send or give them boils and sores all over their bodies, make their life miserable. He doesn't pray this, does he? And he prays something that's so incredible, so powerful, that we need to take again notice of here today. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And this has been a sort of similar theme or constant theme over the last couple of months, peace and forgiveness. Again, we see the way of life that we are to model in our lives as well. Forgiveness, reconciliation. This is the path, this is the way of life that he has modeled for us. His accusers, those who crucified him, are there hurling insults, laughing at him, yet he still says, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. And then the passage goes on to say in verse 39 that one of the criminals next to Jesus starts hurling insults at him. He says, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. This man is full of arrogance, pride. He's a very guilty man who didn't see any need in this moment for grace or for mercy. And he starts hurling insults at Jesus. Yet the other man, the other criminal, rebukes him and he says, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Can we see the contrast in motives, in attitude, in ways of life? One is prideful, arrogant, doesn't even see the need for mercy and grace, while the other one humbles himself, submits himself to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question for us here today is, who or which person do you want to identify your life with? What are your motives like? Are they like the man who's prideful and arrogant, or the man who's humbly submitting his life to Jesus? Which man do you want to emulate in your life? This other man, in complete contrast, again, he shows humility. He shows submission and recognizes that the crime he has committed is actually pretty bad. And he needs mercy. He needs grace. And he comes to the feet of Jesus, metaphorically speaking, asking for forgiveness. Again, these men are getting what their deeds deserve, death, destruction, in the most excruciating way. And in his head, he's probably thinking, what goes around comes around. Again, our past, or my past, has come back to haunt me. We've made our beds, now we need to sleep in it. Ultimately, we are getting what we deserve. And if you're anything like me, there's a dark part of me that actually likes this, when people get what they deserve. Are you in the same boat? I'm sure we are. I'll tell you a story that made me realise this just recently. When we got back from Fiji, it was pouring with rain, and it was on last Sunday, and we went to open the bags. We obviously had them locked on an international flight. I put the key to the kids' bags locked in my wallet. I left the wallet in my brother-in-law's car. And then we're all back to our Sutherland. So this is 8 o'clock at night. I need to get the kids to bed. I'm like, I've got to go back and get this key. Obviously, my wife Kelly wasn't too pleased. And so I jump in the car, head to Sutherland to get this wallet and key. And on my way back, again, it's pouring with rain. I stop at the intersection, the flyway to that veranda. And this car comes around, like skidding around the corner, drifting around the corner in the rain, on purpose, obviously. And in my head, I was thinking, I hope there's a policeman just up there. I hope you get what you deserve, mate. Don't we think like that sometimes, don't we?
All the time.
But yet, when it's, exactly, but when the flip side's true, when it's us in that position, we get pulled over, I'm like, oh, I hope I do not get what I deserve here. I know I feel that way. I don't deserve this. I'm a good person. Come on, let me off. Sometimes I have been. Other times, not so much. But not only that, when we see people who have committed horrible crimes, when we see this on the news, and we're so quick to judge and condemn, and there's no room in our hearts for grace and mercy, is there? There's no room for a second chance. There's no room for redemption. There's no room for redemption stories. But what we see, but what do we see in Jesus? What do we see in his response to this man hanging next to him on the cross? In his moment of realization and humble submission, Jesus responds to this man, turns this attitude, turns this way of thinking on its head. And what does he say to this man? Well, he sure doesn't say, "Nah, sorry, you had your chance. You should have been listening to me when I was on the Mount of Beatitudes. You shouldn't have fallen asleep in my sermon. You should have been paying attention when I was preaching. You stuffed up, you're going to hell." No, he doesn't say that, does he? He actually says something extremely powerful to this man. He says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Ultimately, what Jesus is saying to this man is that your sins, your crimes, your deeds, they have been forgiven. Even though you cannot earn it, even though there's nothing you have done to deserve it, even though you cannot come down from the cross and do 50 Hail Marys or be baptized, even though you cannot do any of that, I am still willing to forgive you because of your humble submission right here, right now. This is the power and the beauty, the wonder of the gospel, amen? Is it not? This is the power of the gospel right here in this moment with this man hanging by the cross. But if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we can sit and think what the world does and think, well, he doesn't deserve this, Jesus. He doesn't deserve this second chance, this chance of redemption. But if we're truly, really honest with ourselves, do we deserve it? Do I deserve it? I mean, by myself, I've lied in my life. In fact, I used to tell a lot of lies when I was going through school to get people to like me. I've cheated on an exam. I wonder if you have. I actually got caught cheating on an exam in year 9. That didn't go down very well. It wasn't pleasant at all. In my life, I've struggled with lust. I've struggled with anger in my life in the past. And let me tell you here today, I definitely do not deserve to be up here speaking and preaching to you all here today. But by the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am here. And I want us to realize here today, most importantly, is that our sins, our deeds, our actions deserve death. Amen. Deserve complete and utter annihilation. We deserve to be on that cross next to Jesus, next to those two criminals, dying the most excruciating death that anyone has ever experienced. We are all deserving of God's wrath, Scripture says, but instead for those who would humble themselves at the foot of the cross, realize their great need for him, there is forgiveness, there is freedom, there is a way out, amen? But his desire is for us to experience life and life to the full. Ephesians 2 verse 3 to 5 says, "What the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions." And then verse 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, but from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The reality is, friends, that Jesus did not just come to make bad people good again, amen? He came back to make dead people alive. Again, that is the beauty, the wonder, the amazing reality of this gospel. This was God's ultimate plan, his ultimate purpose in sending Jesus to die the death that we deserve. This was his ultimate mission and purpose. And Jesus revealed this to us on a number of occasions in the Gospels. He revealed exactly what his mission and purpose was. In Luke chapter 19, we know the story pretty well, I imagine. He sits at the table with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And tax collectors back then were despised and not looked upon fondly because they cheated people out of their money. And here is a tax collector that Jesus invites himself to this man's house to eat with him. This is one of the accusations that the Pharisees had on Jesus, that he ate with sinners. And then in this moment of beauty once again, Zacchaeus shows the same level of humility and submission that this man on the cross does. And Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. That was his purpose. And in Mark's gospel, he says this, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Those who realize they need a doctor. Those who realize they have symptoms of sin that need to be healed, that need to be restored. And the beauty of the gospel, once again, is that he has come as our doctor. And he can identify the symptoms. And he can heal our hearts, amen? He can heal our wounds. Once we were lost, the great hymn, Amazing Grace, says, but now we have been found. Praise God. This is the reality of what he came to do for us. We were sick. We were without a doctor, without hope in the world. But now he came to treat our symptoms, again, to heal our hearts once again. And the reality is, some of us feel guilty for what we've done. I know I do, for my past. Some of us feel unworthy because of something you've done or something someone has done to you. Do you feel unlovable? Do you feel ashamed? Well, what I want to encourage us with all here today is that Jesus does not agree. Amen? That is the enemy who wants you to feel that way. He wants you to feel unworthy. He wants you to feel unloved because of what you've done or unlovable. Jesus does not agree. He came to die in our place so that we could experience freedom, that we could experience life. And the reality is here today, no matter what we've done, Jesus doesn't say, you will get what you deserve. No, he says you are worthy. He says you are lovable. You are loved because I got what you deserved so that you may have life and life to the full. I got what you deserve. What does that do internally for you? Hearing that? How does that make you want to respond to that reality? Yeah, for that to take place, for us to experience this freedom, for us to experience true life, true wisdom, you and I need to learn the way of the cross. We need to learn the way of humility, the way of submission, the way of servitude, amen? May that be our mandate for this year, humbly walking through this life, following the footsteps of Jesus. It requires us humbling ourselves at the foot of the cross and realizing our great need for him. And it's not a one-off transaction and say, yeah, great, I've got the ticket to heaven in my back pocket. It's something we need to be doing on a daily basis, amen? Such is the importance of devotional readings, time in God's word, prayer. These are acts of submission, humility, wanting to learn the way of the cross, wanting to learn the way of Jesus. This is what daily exercising of our faith looks like, amen? Again, this is what Rick spoke about last week, I think it was, or the week before. A daily choice to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross in order for us to suppress the flesh and our sinful desires, our sinful motives. For if we don't, Scripture tells us that, yes, God will discipline us. We won't get what we deserve, but he will discipline us like a loving father or loving mother disciplines their son and daughter to lead them back into the straight and narrow. He will discipline us, Scripture tells us. But walking in the way of wisdom, walking in the way of the cross, it's a lifelong journey, amen? It's a lifelong adventure, one that requires an ongoing renewal of heart and mind. Such again is the importance of immersing ourselves in God's word, spending time in prayer with him. Yet even when we do get it wrong, even when we do turn our backs on him, which we do on a regular basis, we need to remind ourselves of the reality once again when we come to him in humility and humble submission, that he says to us once again, you will not get what you deserve. I got what you deserve. He has already taken it for us. And as we finish up here today, maybe it may encourage us with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 103, verse 10 to 12, which says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Amen. That's the beauty and the power of the gospel right there. Let's pray. Well, Father God, as we come again to reflect on this reality, as we come to reflect and to respond to what you have achieved, Father, again, we realize that we do not deserve all that you've given us. We do not deserve this life that you have bestowed upon us. But yet, in your mercy, your love, and your grace, in your love for humanity, your love for us, your desire for us to experience that you came and your mission, your purpose was to take what we deserved, to save the lost, to save us sinners, those who are sick with this sickness and disease of sin. And so, Lord, we respond in this moment now with hearts and minds desiring once more to experience you, to be taken on that journey of the life or the way of life that you actually ordained and desired for. So I pray here today that we would respond as we can only respond when someone gives their life for another. In humble submission, servitude, and thankfulness and gratitude. Allowing that way of life to dictate every action and deed that we seek to take in our lives. So Lord God, may you again remind us of the love and thank you that our deeds will not get what they deserve. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you are here with us in today, desiring to heal our hearts. And again, we pray, Lord God, for your blessing upon us as a church family. Bless us as we sing this last song, God. Remind us of why you came. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. we close our time together here today, I encourage you just to reflect on what this reality means for you. Just have a moment with God, hopefully he speaks to you in this moment by the power of his Holy Spirit. How are you going to respond to this reality this week? So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proven his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for all of us, he certainly won't withhold with us anything else he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and he is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So, Lord God, with that in mind, we are reminded of the reality that there is no one who can condemn us. If anyone is in Christ, they stand not guilty. And we worship you and we thank you for that living reality right now. And I know that some people here need to hear those words declared, to be reminded of the love, the mercy and grace that is on offer for them and each and every one of us here today. Thank you, Lord, and may we lead with this reality into our lives, into our weeks, seeking to submit and to live a life of servitude and humility, and ultimately leading others down the path of the way of the cross again. Thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you because of what you've done. And we pray your continued blessing over each and every one of us here today and this week. Lead us and guide us to live the way of life that you have called us to. Pray these things in your Son's mighty and wonderful name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless. It's great to be back with you guys. Please hang around for more intake. If you did want prayer at all, please come forward. I'd love to pray for you. But have a blessed week. God bless. Sure, see you soon.